From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. We've got a great show for you today. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and your host at RGR Football.
And I'm Chris Clark from Chiefs Digest. Thank you all for listening. We really do appreciate it. And we do have a little bit to talk about today.
Yeah, we're going to get into what's going on around the league, a couple of news updates. Then the Kittle thing and how it affects Travis Kelce in particular. And then we're going to run down the linebackers because this is a position that's going to be very important this season. So I want to start that the NFL and the NFLPA finally got to a point where they are in agreement about what they're going to be doing moving forward. They have revamped the testing protocol that we heard about initially of testing daily for 2 weeks and then trying to take that back a little bit. They are still under 2% overall positivity in their testing to this point in the NFL, but they have decided that players are going to be tested every day up through September 5th. So for the Chiefs, getting right up into their game prep time. And so I have to think that it might even stretch a little bit farther for the Chiefs because they want to make sure that nobody comes down with something real close to that opening game of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that Kansas City will probably just decide they're going to foot the bill and go and test their players every single day until the opening game, because honestly, stopping 4 days short is not going to be something that I would think you'd want to do.
Yeah, that feels just like, you know, not finishing the race, really, just to leave yourself open there when you're about to be on national TV for the first game since the last time you played a game on national TV. That's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, it's the first game that anybody's going to get to see for the entire year because there's no preseason. So, I mean, it's a huge deal. So I definitely think that they're going to take as many precautions as they can. And I think that's probably going to be a good signal for them. And I think that the team will be ready to go. And hopefully, you know, they have their entire roster ready for them.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think what that highlights is not just how the league's working with the NFLPA to keep everybody safe and do the utmost they can for preparation, but it also highlights the fact that the Chiefs are in the spotlight in more ways than just being a Super Bowl winner. They are out front of the way the protocols are enforced, the way that they go about doing things. I'm going to do a show later in the week or over the weekend is a little short about the first episode of Hard Knocks, but a lot of Chiefs fans are probably not interested. I know that show's not as popular as it used to be, but for me, it definitely stands out as to what we saw from the Kansas City Chiefs in their behind the scenes about how they're doing their testing, how they set up their locker room versus what we saw, not just from the Rams, but from the Chargers as well. And for another opponent in division to be what looked to me like some severe inconsistencies, it really puts the spotlight. The Chiefs are doing things down to the letter and even above and beyond the way they need to be done.
Yeah. And the bigger question and the thing that you really have to ask and that's going to be a key to this season for just about every single team in the NFL or every single team in the NFL is how are their players going to treat it? Because if we saw in baseball that if they treat it and they go out and they do things, it's going to be an issue. If the players are responsible, that there's a great chance that you're able to get through the entire season, but the players have got to take that upon themselves.
Yeah, there's no way around that. And I felt like for the most part, what we saw and what we've heard around the league is that the NFL, more so than other leagues, is taking it seriously for the most part. Now, that doesn't mean that you're always super cognizant of keeping your mask up and over your nose and all that kind of stuff. But it seems like for the most part, players in this particular league are taking it very seriously. I think that's a positive thing when the Chiefs have to get on the field first against a Houston team that we haven't seen or heard a peep out of.
No, and they're going to be a different Houston team because you take away one of their biggest weapons in DeAndre Hopkins. That's going to be a completely different offense. So we're going to have to see how that ends up and how they end up being able to switch things up this year. But you know, you look at Kansas City, and I think they're going to be ready for this, and I think they'll be in good shape. I do trust the leadership on this team to make sure that the guys understand you can't go out and party like you normally would during a season, or you can't even go party as a rookie. You just can't do that stuff right now. Not if you want to be playing football and not if you want to be on this team.
Yeah. And I think everything's going to be fine till that first Friday night, which is usually party night in the NFL. That's going to be a change. I think they're going to be on high alert, to tell you the truth. Another one that's on high alert is what's going on in the tight end market. Coming up next, we're going to get into what dollars and cents make for Travis Kelce. So a little bit of news. I don't know if it's news or rumor or a little bit of both. But the dollars talk being thrown about talking about George Kittle are interesting, huh?
Yeah, $15.8 million over 6 years. $15.8 million per year over 6 years. So almost $95 million for George Kittle. He has actually already come out and said that don't believe everything you see on the internet. So, I mean, that would be a huge boost to the tight end market. So that is a very big deal for Kansas City to be watching.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that Kittle would have that kind of comment. How did you take that? Because I took it as, hey, it might be more than that.
It's kind of the way I have to think that it needs to be taken, because you look at it and it's like, okay, well, that would reset the tight end market. And that's definitely not what you want before Travis Kelce goes and gets another contract, because he's making what, just under 10 this year on the cap and maybe in cash too. So you look at it and I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a complicated situation. I really think that Kittle is going to reset the tight end market, but I didn't expect it to be close to $16 million a year.
Well, and that's the big thing. Is the jump is significant. That's an additional 60% over who's making the most right now, who is Hunter Henry, another guy that is on that Hard Knock show. At his average is 10.6. Travis is at 9.3, which was a trend setting at the time when I made my ill-fated prediction. But that
which
jump.
We appreciated.
Yeah, right. So the flip side is Kittle trying to downplay that because it's not going to live up to expectations for the Chiefs. They have to hope that it doesn't hit that, because then an extension with Travis Kelce becomes drastically more of a burden than you thought it was going to be last week.
Yeah, and the question that you have to ask and the question that Kelce is going to have to answer is, how much do you want to play with your best friend? Because honestly, that's what it's going to come down to, because Kansas City can't afford to pay him $12 million a year, $14 million a year.
Yeah,
not with Tyreek Hill and not with Frank Clark and Chris Jones and not with all those guys. It's just, you can't do that. So, and I love Travis Kelce and I don't want to see him go anywhere, but man.
That jump would be, I mean, just talking about tacking on, I mean, jumping Kittle up to 160% of the highest salary now, that's just earth shattering. You don't see jumps like that. I hope that means that's not that big. We have seen, like, even Spot Tracker saying that the numbers being reported are not accurate, but it's still going to be a jump. Every major contract resets the market for that position. So knowing that, and knowing that they're at least in discussions at this point, if you're trying to say, like, what would you say would be the cap that they would like to have it at, like 12 maybe for Travis? Does that put the impetus to get this done as soon as possible right now?
Yeah, but if you're Travis Kelce, you don't want to do the deal right now. Right. There's no reason for you to want to do a deal right now. So they're going to have to give him more money for him to want to do a deal than to not. So to me, I don't know that this is something that they can get done before the Kittle deal gets done, because I think that's going to be in the next couple of weeks, if not sooner. I really don't know what you give him. It's a very, very convoluted question, because you're not going to be able to pay all the people that you want to pay. And I don't know where they're going to get the money. Obviously they made it work with Chris Jones, but Chris Jones gave him the ability to not have to change their cap number this year. Travis Kelce could do the same thing, but looking at what they're getting next year, I mean, there's going to be almost nothing to be able to give him. I mean, they're going to have to be cutting a lot of people next year. So I don't know where you come up with the money, and I don't know what they think they could really afford, because $10 million seems like a lot at this point.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And right now his cap hit this year is 11.2. Next year it's slated to be 9. So it's falling off just a touch. But you would have to adjust both of those if you were going to make this work. And that's just the numbers. If you look at the team, the alternative does not bode well either, because there's nobody on this team that can step up and be a tight end one right now on this roster. So the depth behind Kelce now, I mean, and I'm all for extending Kelce. I know he's a little bit behind the curve because he had that lost season initially. He is 30 this year, still under contract in 2021, where he'll be 31. Extending it more than a few years might start to look a little bit cumbersome. But when you look at the backside, Ricky Seals-Jones isn't a one. Dan Yelder, as much as I want to see him progress, I don't think he's going to turn into a one. So you're not there in terms of replacing what is a key weapon for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and you're looking at a situation where you could have gone and addressed that position specifically in the last couple of years' drafts. They've had great tight end drafts, and they have not done it. So you would have to expect that they're expecting that Travis Kelce is going to be here for, you know, three or four more seasons at least. And, you know, I don't know what gets that deal done. I would love to say $12 million, but I don't know that that's going to be enough. It's just questionable whether or not you can decide you're going to pay Travis Kelce $12 million when you're paying Tyreek Hill $20 and Patrick Mahomes $40 or $50. Where are you going to get the money from? Because you're not going to be able to have it all in skilled position players. So,
yeah, it's about staggering them at this point. And I think the question comes back to what you said before. How much does he want to play with Patrick? It comes down to Travis isn't going to have as much success somewhere else, in my opinion. I can't see another quarterback that's going to take advantage of him as well, unless it's like maybe Deshaun.
Well, it's not just Patrick. It's also Andy Reid. You can't go to that type of scenario somewhere else. You're just not going to find a perfect scenario for that player. And that's really what he has with Patrick and Andy. So I hope he realizes that and maybe they're able to get something done and he gets a new contract and they give him a couple more million this year or next year. And that's what they do with the Okafor money. Maybe that's what they're doing with it. I don't know. That would be a fantastic move on Beach's part, considering the fact that he just got that money and, you know, obviously it would be going right back out, but to get it done before the Kittle deal would be a coup in my mind.
Yeah, I agree. But I have to think in the back of my head, nothing gets past Brett Veach. I think we've seen that he has been adamant about getting things done and he's been successful. So I can't think that this is creeping up on them, even it being a contract for another player on another team.
That's
so
true.
I think there has to be a plan. Right now, Travis is in 2021, the number 9 player in terms of salary, a cap hit number. Next year in 2021. The only ones above him are the tackles, Schwartz and Fisher, Anthony Hitchens, that we can discuss that coming up here shortly. And then, like you said, Tyreek Hill, and then the big four, Jones, Matthew, Mahomes, and Clark. Is there room to renegotiate one of those and pull some money out? I think Frank Clark might be an option there, but again, that is another step and a hoop to jump through.
It is. But I do want to, I know we didn't say we were going to talk about this, but I do want to mention this right now. It is amazing to me to see how many home runs Brett Veach has hit in his short career.
Yep.
I mean, besides Patrick Mahomes, and yeah, he's had some misses. Everybody has misses. But you start talking about all the different moves he's made between drafting players and signing players to contracts. The Anthony Hitchens contract, which we'll talk about here in a minute, looks like a little bit of a miss, but I get it. But just all the moves he's made have really put this team in a position to be able to be a contender for years to come.
It definitely has. And coming up next, that's exactly what we're going to talk about, is the linebacker position led by Anthony Hitchens. Hey, sports fans, you know how much you've missed watching sports over the last few months? Well, the athletes of Special Olympics Missouri have not been able to train or compete since March, and they miss their sports and their friends as well. You can help support them in this time of need and potentially walk away with a brand new 2020 GMC Canyon 4x4 truck. Here's how to participate. Buy your raffle tickets between now and October 31st. Just go to somo.org/raffle. That's SOMO.org/RAFFLE. And click the green button, buy truck tickets generically. $20 for 5 tickets, 1 is free. Connect SOMO athletes to health and wellness programs. $5 per ticket supports individuals with intellectual disabilities. $10 minimum on online purchases. Important side note to mention, you do not need to live in Missouri to win. So for all you out-of-state listeners, you can help too. Let's go. October 31st is your last day to buy tickets, but don't wait till then, because along the way, you have a chance to win one of 2 trip prizes to either Branson or to Vegas. And by purchasing $40 worth or 8 tickets, you are entered to win both in separate drawings. Missouri Special Olympics athletes need your help getting back on the field of competition. For just $5, you'll help them prepare for their next tournament and give yourself a chance to win a truck, a trip to Branson or Las Vegas, and $500 in cash. Check out somo.org/raffle. So like we talked about a few minutes ago, Anthony Hitchens looks like a guy that you could try to do something. his contract is not necessarily amenable to making a change. I don't think that you're going to save much money. I'd have to look up exactly what it would cost them to release him at that point, but it's not going to be cheap. I think his yearly cash is like 6.5. So you're talking some serious hit there in your effort to get down to 175. And currently they're right at the 200 mark, give or take a little bit in terms of contracts. So they do have some work to do.
They definitely do. And that's, you know, we've discussed Hitchens before a couple of times, and that's the big question with him is he going to be on the roster in 2021? 2020, there's no way they're cutting him. It doesn't make sense from a cost perspective. So, you know, but next year in 2021, he would free up space. So it's possible that they're going to be looking at moving up for or moving on from him. Just a big question as to how that's going to work.
It is, because there are a number of things in this particular position group that have to be sorted out in 2020 to know what you're doing going forward. And Anthony certainly leads that group, not only just figuratively, but on the field as well. So there is a leadership gap there that you would have to fill if and when Anthony moves on, whether it be 2021 or the end of that contract or whatever comes in between. Clearly, they were pretty happy with Damian Wilson last year. Have to expect him, at least in the base defense with three linebackers, to play that Sam role again is my guess. And they spent a high draft pick on Willie Gay. So there's your top three. Do you see any way that those are not the top three?
From what I'm looking at, it looks like they could save money next year. They can't really save any money this year. It would cost them more to cut him than it would to keep him. And it looks like they could free up about $2.3 million next year if they cut him in 2021 for Anthony Hitchens. I can't see that they're going to be going in any other direction with their three starters at this point. The question is who's going to play the guys behind him.
Mm-hmm. And that is definitely a question. They gave a lot of snaps last year, particularly in pass coverage, to Ben Neiman. I have to think that he is solidly the number four on this roster.
Yep. I'm with you on that.
Okay. Then it becomes a little squishy, for lack of a better term. Sorry, I made kids lunch here a little bit ago. You get into another rookie that you've heard Willie Gay actually talk about in going through this process with Amari Cobb. Haven't seen or heard anything about him, so we'll have to wait until we get a report on that. You have Emmanuel Smith back there who's been with the roster for a bit. Haven't seen a ton of progression. At least to our eyes, you never know what's going on in practice. And you have Darius Harris, who's another one in that same situation. So I see all those guys as kind of a question mark myself.
Yeah, and I agree with you. It's going to be very questionable who they're going to end up keeping at linebacker. And we haven't even talked about a guy like Dorian O'Daniel yet.
And he's the last guy listed at backer that I think has a chance to be here. So let's just take a step back and look at numbers. You have four guys that we know are going to be on this roster, a bunch of question marks. And Dorian, I have to think that there is a possibility that maybe they get squeezed and they're not sure about whether they can keep a fifth linebacker. If they have to keep 10 offensive linemen, possibly more defensive backs, this becomes a position that could get squeezed out. How do you feel about his chances right now?
I don't think it gets squeezed that much. I think it could get squeezed. I think they could go down to, I think they normally keep at least six linebackers. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine that they go down to five. Actually, I think they usually keep seven linebackers now that I think about it. But, you know, I think that Dorian O'Daniel is going to be on this team mainly for special teams. But the question is do they think he can contribute on defense? Because if he can't contribute on defense, it doesn't really matter how good he is at special teams because he's not going to be able to step in if they need him to play. So this is a make or break year for him. I really thought last year was going to be in, and he didn't really do anything. So I'm a little surprised that they didn't really address that a little bit more.
I would agree with you if it wasn't for one thing, and that is that Spags mentioned him by name a couple of times this offseason in having to wait to find out how they could fit guys into the scheme. And he did drop him a couple of times, specifically when facing mobile quarterbacks. I remember the job he did against Deshaun Watson. I think that was really standout for me. They're going to face Lamar again. This is a situation where he may be a very niche player in that that's what his best role is defending, shadowing mobile quarterbacks. But those guys are the ones that you got to beat. So I think it's worth keeping him for sure. And like you said, going down to five is kind of a stretch.
Yeah. Well, and that's the big thing is going down to, if they go down to five, he's got to be able to play defense, and it can't be just as a niche. It has to be, he has to be able to contribute at some point. So that's a big question. And I think that he's going to be, I think that he makes the roster this year, but he really needs to take a step forward and actually find his place on this roster. And maybe it is a guy that plays that niche. And, you know, obviously they played Deshaun Watson week one. So maybe he plays a big role against Deshaun Watson, and then he ends up playing another big role against Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. 2 weeks later could be a big early season for him. And if that does work out that way, I think that would solidify him, because I think that's the number one thing that he's been missing. Dorian Daniel has not gotten enough reps to improve in this scheme, is my opinion.
He needs to get on the field. He needs to produce. And obviously he's not going to be looked at as a starter. So you would hope that he's not going to be somebody that has to step on the field and produce all the time. But I don't think he can continue to just be a good special teams player and be on this roster in 2021. So he has to find something that makes him stick out, in my opinion.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'll be interested to see if he can put it together. That's where we see the linebackers.
Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics. Let us know what you think.
Leave us a review at iTunes. Give us that 5 stars. Follow and ask us a question.
Chris,
let us know what you think of the linebackers.
Hit us at LockedOnChiefs
on Twitter or on Instagram.
Same at Apple Podcasts.
And I'm over at
subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.